coming up on this episode of The Social Hour. Pinterest is getting into the travel game. Snapchat is surpassing Facebook in photo snaps, or is it? Windows Phone gets Instagram. And what's going on with people impersonating Jean-Claude Van Damme? All that and more next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for The Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 138, recorded Thursday, November 21st, 2013. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SOCIALHOUR11. And by Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you're a social media manager at a large enterprise, gain insight and engage in social media with Social Media Solutions from SAP to improve your customer service and support experience. Take a guided tour at sap.com/twit. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/socialhour. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of The Social Hour. I always say that, but that's because I know it's always going to be fun. If you're not familiar with me, my name is Sarah Lane, and I'm coming to you from Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, California.
And I'm almost on the other side. I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And Sarah, I always give a weather report at the beginning of the show. And let me just tell you, it is getting cold, and we're going to have snow any day now. I can feel it.
Now, are you? I know that you are a very good sport about the changing weather in your home city. You also travel a lot, so sometimes you're in warm weather during the winter. But how do you feel about the first snow of the year? Is it like exciting? Is it romantic? Is it just annoying?
I love it. As long as it's a lot of snow. There's nothing worse than just a tiny little bit of snow, or if there are snow showers. I don't know if you have that term out there, but if it's almost like freezing rain, that's the worst. But if we have a big amount of snow for the first snowfall and it's kind of stormy, I definitely love it. I think the biggest thing this time of year really is how dark it gets so early. Yeah. And I know a lot of people obviously struggle with that, but just I get up pretty early in the morning, and just the fact that, you know, it's dark in the morning and it's dark at the end of the day from work, I can't wait till, I guess, it's December 21st when the days start to get longer. That will make me very happy, even if it continues to be cold.
You know, it's funny. I've been feeling like it's winter for a while, and I was going to make some sort of a comment, like on an Instagram post, and I was like, let me just make sure that it's winter, right? Because it's the end of November, and sure enough, no, it doesn't start until like the end of December. I was way off.
I know. It feels so wintry.
It does. Well, all right. Enough weather talk, but thank you for the update. Let's start off with, this is actually sort of a controversial story, depending on who you ask and who's crunching the numbers, but the article from earlier this week was that Snapchat, you know, of course, the temporary media sharing app that's very hot, had surpassed Facebook in photo uploads. So that's, daily uploads specifically. And I was talking about it with a couple people, and I think it was Tom Merritt who said, well, it's a photo sharing app, and Facebook can be used for lots of other things besides photos. So, of course, an app that's completely reliant on sharing photos and videos would have a high volume. But it just goes to show you that it's on par with something like Facebook, which is just the largest network in the world, as far as if you're talking in the social sense. But it's hard to quantify some of these numbers, especially because it's all having to come from Snapchat data. Because a lot of this is, you know, behind closed doors. It's sort of that, it's that private sharing doesn't last forever. Where's really the metrics that third-party companies can use to back up these numbers? What do you think, Amber? I mean, does it sound lofty? Does it sound about right?
I think this is a pretty significant story for Facebook. I mean, think back to when they bought Instagram for $1 billion, or I guess it was close to $700 million. But at the end of the day, photos really do matter to Instagram or to Facebook. They care a lot about that community, which particularly, I think in this case, is a younger audience. And so I think for Snapchat to surpass Facebook as far as these numbers, I think it's a big deal. And I think it just goes to show you that Snapchat is really giving Facebook a run for its money, whether they like it or not. The reality is teens are just flocking there. I read a really great article today about Snapchat, and they talked about some of the reasons that perhaps a younger audience was going there. And they talked about the whole idea of perceived privacy and how teens want to get back to this idea that maybe a social network they're using is more private, unlike Facebook, of course.
Yeah. It's also, it's hard to compare the two. And of course, there were the rumors that Snapchat turned down an offer from Facebook for, what was it, $3 billion, which is totally crazy. but again, it's if Facebook feels like it's something that they can't replicate. We have a couple people in chat saying, "We'll just wait till Facebook builds this functionality, and then Snapchat's dead in the water." Well, that's definitely not true. I mean, Facebook has recreated a few other sites. It has its own location-based service that was in response to the popularity of Foursquare a couple of years ago, for example. Facebook Messenger rivals SMS. I actually like Facebook Messenger, but it certainly hasn't killed any other technology, and there are a lot of other messaging apps. So I don't think just Facebook building something like this would mean the end for Snapchat. It also goes against everything that Facebook is about. Facebook is about having stuff that never goes away, and photo albums and organization, and it's
your
on
your timeline, right?
Yeah. I mean,
exactly. The whole notion of the timeline is something that stays forever, and Snapchat is the exact opposite of that. So I think this is a big deal, and I think some of these niche-oriented apps and social networks are going to keep eating away at Facebook's audience. So we'll keep watching that. And funny enough, we don't have any Facebook news in the headlines. We're just talking about all of these newer social networks that we use on a regular basis, including the next story that you found, Sarah, which is all about Pinterest, because it seems like we've had Pinterest news every single week for, I would say, the past 6 weeks, and the site just keeps getting stronger and stronger.
I love the Pinterest blog. I mean, it's a little silly, but it's called "Oh, How Pinteresting," and yeah, it's actually they're you're right, Amber. They're extremely active because they have a lot of stuff to talk about all the time. Pinterest folks over at Pinterest are busy. You know, they got a big user base. They got to keep them all happy. And Place Pins is the newest announcement from the company. And the idea is that, let's say I'm planning it. So I'm going to New York tomorrow. Let's say I want to do a bunch of stuff I've never done over there. I want to go to a museum I had never been to. Or you know, there's a couple of different restaurants I want to make sure that I hit up when I'm there. I can create Place Pins, which is sort of a explorer version of a Pinterest board that I might put together. What's neat about these is it's not just being in the planning stages of Pinterest that this would apply to. It certainly would it would apply to before you go somewhere. You can kind of get excited. You can add a map to your board, or you can edit an existing board to add a map to something. Well, a couple years ago, I started to put together a bunch of restaurants in a certain part of France that I would be in. I hadn't been to any of them yet, but I was like, oh, Pinterest would be kind of a cool place to do this. But it felt a little wonky because I was sort of just like trying to share an image from a page on a restaurant site. So this would make a lot more sense because it's map-based. But then when you're on the go, you can add places to the board as well. And what's cool about it is that, let's say you're using, you know, your Pinterest mobile app, if you called up that board and located yourself, it can pull from Foursquare's API. Foursquare has a ton of data as far as locations around the world to pull not just locations, but pictures from venues and restaurants and stores and even museums and stuff like that, so that you can actually be building these boards on the go. Amber, I'm into it. I mean, I like to travel a lot, but I have to say, giving people sort of a task that applies to real world activity on Pinterest makes a lot of sense to me.
I think this is really cool. And, you know, they list some really interesting boards in this article, the blog post that they made, and talk about boards such as East Coast Beach Crawl from the Travel Channel. And I think more and more, this is the way people are using Pinterest to travel. And we had an example, I think, of it might have been the Four Seasons hotels who were using Pinterest, and they had almost like a digital concierge where you could plan your trip and the concierge would help you figure out what you wanted to do while you were in that city. And so I think it's amazing. I think a lot of travelers are going to go here as a way to be able to plan their next vacation, maybe even business trips, who knows. But again, I mean, this just shows that Pinterest is kind of quickly jumping on every different audience that's using their platform, whether it individuals, consumers, or also big brands out there, retailers and whatnot.
Yeah, Stephen Shankland was our guest on TNT this morning, and he said, you know, the only thing we got to worry about here is, or Pinterest needs to make sure that they keep a handle on just the volume of things that are going to be pinned. And I think he's right. Obviously, just because somebody wants to put together a great travel-based Pinterest page doesn't mean it's going to help me as somebody who's researching a place to go. But that's not so unlike TripAdvisor. After a while, you kind of get good at weeding out opinions from people who may have stayed at a hotel, and you're like, you know, that person doesn't seem like they have the same opinions as me, so I'll go ahead and take that review with a grain of salt. I think it applies to Pinterest also, and I think maybe the one thing that Pinterest doesn't have is kind of specific, like, here, let us guide you through something that we know that you're going to want. I think a lot of people, you and I have been guilty of this, where we sort of go, I don't know, Pinterest seems okay, but we don't really have any remodeling projects or a birthday party to plan or something that Pinterest seems to be used for. Add travel into it, and all of a sudden you have a whole new audience.
It makes perfect sense. And Sarah, I was just thinking about this the other day, why perhaps we don't use Pinterest or LinkedIn maybe as much as I thought we would. And I think one of the reasons is, at least for me, and I think you're similar, Twitter really is my main social network. And so if I want to travel, or I want to find, you know, a potential job out there, or I'm hiring someone, I tend to go to Twitter first because I have such a big community there. And I think for a lot of people, they don't have that. So it makes sense maybe to start on other social networks.
Totally. Best places to visit Europe from Europe a la carte.
Uh-oh, we've lost Sarah.
I know, I'm like, ooh.
Uh-oh. Have the travel bug, didn't
What's
you, Sarah?
What's this little area here? Oh, Nice. Oh, I agree. This is a very nice one. I'm going to go ahead and like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could spend all day here. It's great research. It's great research in a different way, in a way that you may have never thought of Pinterest before. And I think that's definitely a good thing for the company as they expand and begin to sell advertising. All right, Amber, what about this next story about Twitter and television and branding?
Yeah, this is another story about Twitter, and they're really trying to get that audience who are watching television and they're tweeting at the same time. Of course, the people can go out, brands can go buy advertisements, and they're making it easier than ever. So what they've launched is this TV conversation targeting. They just launched it today, and it's a feature that lets brands and networks promote tweets to users who engage in specific shows, even if the brand isn't running a TV ad during the program. So I think what they're trying to say with this, Sarah, is that a lot of advertisers who go onto Twitter are also advertising during commercial breaks on television. And what they've done here is they've made it easier for advertisers, even if they don't have ads on television, to still engage with people who are having those conversations on Twitter. And they say there are cases where, let's say, there's a big brand out there that's advertising on TV. Well, if a competitor went and was buying ads to be part of the conversation on Twitter, they could trump that conversation on Twitter if the TV advertiser wasn't there. Hopefully I didn't confuse you too much, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah, no, that it makes sense to me. I think my only issue is when I see stuff like this, and I've actually been in the native Twitter app a lot more over the last week because I was testing out some functionality because they pushed out a new iOS app. But one of the new trends, if you go into the Discover section, there's a trending topic, right, hovering at the top, and you scroll down, you can see which television shows are trending. And it's very front and center. And to me, I'm sort of like, I get it. And I love the Discover factor of Twitter is getting better all the time. But I don't really know what to do with it then. Do I interact with strangers who are also talking about these television shows? It's usually a very, unless it's a live event or an extremely popular show, you know, along the lines of Breaking Bad or something where there's a big climax and everybody wants to watch at the same time. I don't know that there's so much overlap with what I'm watching and what my friends, people that I'm following on Twitter are watching.
No, I think you're exactly right. So it doesn't really work so well for on-demand programming. And I think really where it works is, like you said, just for live TV shows. You know, if it's people watching American Idol at the same time, maybe on Friday night, people are watching Shark Tank and you all want to get online. So it is very specific to people who are getting a live feed of a certain type of program. So in that case, it makes sense. But I don't know if I really tweet about TV shows, but I definitely go on while I'm watching TV and I see other people see what they're tweeting about. So it's a different type of thing for me. I don't contribute so much to the conversation, but I definitely like watching. And it just enhances, I think, what I'm watching. Or, you know what, maybe I have no attention span and I just can't sit and watch TV that long.
That too. Twitter's great for all of that stuff. Want to get away from the show you're watching? Check Twitter. Do some searches. This is also something that you can enjoy on Windows Phone. But Windows Phone users have finally, at long last, gotten Instagram. I can't believe they waited so long.
I know. And I think we talked about this before. We mentioned that this was coming. Well, it's now available. But just one note, it says this in the Read Write article that although you can take photos and use all the different Instagram filters, you still can't shoot video on the Windows platform. I was kind of surprised about that because I feel like that has become a more important part of the Instagram experience. But Windows users have waited a long time to get Instagram. And it's just unfortunate they don't really have the full capability of the app.
There was sort of like a PR snafu earlier in the week. We had heard, oh, Windows Phone is getting Instagram. That's great. Instagram is kind of one of those, even if you're not a big Instagrammer, you want to have the option. If it's not in your app store, it seems like, why not? This is such a big app. Then we had heard this a couple of days ago, it's basically just read privileges rather than write privileges, meaning it's just a way to look at Instagram streams and be able to interact with them, sort of like the web version of Instagram, but you can't actually upload photos. That wasn't true. Mm-hmm. But somehow, for a couple of hours, everybody who writes about this stuff, including myself, was very confused. And it sounds like it was just bad communication between the Instagram folks and the Windows Phone folks and everybody who's interested. So just kind of a weird rollout in general. But I think that... Yeah. You know, that aside, that's just sort of one of those things that happens sometimes. It's very good for Windows Phone to get something like Instagram. It also got Waze capability as well.
It's always good to be able to get some of the most popular apps out there. Now, Sarah, for our LinkedIn story this week, LinkedIn has announced that they are now offering showcase pages. Now, these are different than company pages, which we're very familiar with. Lots of companies use these on a regular basis. But showcase pages allow different companies who have multiple brands to have separate pages for their brands. So it feels to me almost a little bit like a Facebook competitor in some ways, in the sense that Facebook has traditionally dominated that space in terms of having the different brands that have been part of that experience. But now LinkedIn is kind of getting into that area as well.
I love this idea, especially since sometimes I think a lot of us can feel like, well, you know, this is my, you know, my main job, but maybe I would also like if I wanted to become a painter, I'm not going to, but maybe I will someday. It's like, if I wanted to list that under all of the other skills that I've already listed for myself, it might kind of get lost in the shuffle. And it might not have a whole lot to do with my other skill set and seem a little out of place. Well, especially if I want to look attractive to a potential employer or somebody who wants to hire me for something, I could see where sectioning out your skills, especially if it's something very specific, and then be able to direct people there depending on, you know, what you're looking to get out of a professional relationship with them, that really does make sense. Because I could say, oh, you know, I'm a broadcaster, or, you know, I'm a cook, or I'm, you know, a nanny, whatever. And then be able to kind of make standalone pages for yourself that doesn't end up competing with all the stuff you do or get lost in the shuffle.
I think you're right, because I think traditionally LinkedIn has really made us go into different silos, right? And for many people, the reality is that you want to broaden a little bit. And I think especially for brands, and like you mentioned, personal brands even, just to be able to branch out of it, I think this is a great move for LinkedIn. And I think this is one of the better things that I've seen them do over even the past few months.
It does sound like this will just be for business accounts. So obviously mm-hmm. LinkedIn has tiers. And it sounds like these are showcase pages that allow you, they say as a company, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, work at a big company, but probably you have to be a premium member to highlight different aspects of their business, which also makes sense. I mean, if whether you're an individual or you're a company that provides a variety of services and you want to make sure that that those are displayed nicely. It looks very nice. In fact, it really does look a lot like Facebook, Amber. I mean, it looks more yes. like a Facebook page than LinkedIn has ever looked to me.
Yeah, it has that Facebook feel to it. So we'll see what happens with this particular feature. But I think it will be a big success for them.
Absolutely. Quick reminder, we record the Social Hour not for very much longer, for the rest of 2013 I've already changed it in my coffee, on Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. But starting January 1st, it's actually January, what did I say it was? 9th, I think, when we come back from our little holiday break, Amber and I will be recording the show at a new time, live on Yay. Thursdays. Yay! I know, I'm so excited too. At 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And we're very excited about that. We're gonna give you a little bit more social a little bit earlier before your weekend, so you have a little time to digest it. So do mark your calendars for that, and we hope you can watch us live. But of course, you know that if you can't, you can always go to twit.tv/TSH, which is where all of our show archives live, where you can catch all of the videos that you may have missed. You can grab our audio or video feed and make sure that you never miss any of the articles that we talk about, because they're always listed in our show notes and makes it really easy for you to pass along to somebody or go over again. All right, let's take a moment to thank Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. Oh, we love Squarespace because it's not just a place to blog. It's not just a hosting company. It's not just one thing. It's an all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy. That's really the key word, easy, to create a professional website or online portfolio really quickly. You get up and running lickety-split. They've got beautiful designs. In fact, 20 new, really, really nice looking templates that you might not have seen before for you to just start with. Lots of style options you need to create a website that's unique to you, that doesn't look like a bunch of other websites out there. In fact, they won a lot of design awards. I mean, people are really, really impressed by the Squarespace design team, but it's easy to use. It's not just nice looking. It's easy to use. You can go ahead and get a website up and running. You don't even have to do any customization if you don't want to, but if you do, you absolutely have control over that. And Squarespace has customer service support team. They work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you ever run into trouble or you have questions, you can always ask them about that as well. Starts at just $8 per month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Plus, it's mobile ready. I mean, not everybody's looking at your website on a nice big desktop computer anymore. In fact, that happens less and less often. The code is beautiful. It works on a variety of devices, meaning however anybody is accessing your site, it will look nice, whether they're on a smartphone or a tablet or a laptop or anything. Even the code is beautiful. Search engine optimized as well, and that hosting is included. You don't have to worry about hosting with some other company. You want to do it all in one place. Why not choose Squarespace? You can start a trial, no credit card required right now. Start building your website. In fact, if you build something and you're super happy about it, you should let us know. Send us the link to your website.
Yes, definitely. And you, that would be very cool.
Yeah, and we can showcase some stuff. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, use the offer code SOCIALHOUR11. So that's Social Hour and then 11 for the number 11, because it's November. It's the 11th month of the year. Lets them kind of track who's interested. To get 10% off, use that code SOCIALHOUR11 for 10% off, and obviously to show your support for us as well. We thank Squarespace for their support of the Social Hour. It's everything you need to create an exceptional website, Squarespace. Thanks to you. All right, Amber. I am so excited about our social tip this week because, because you know, the word selfie got added to the dictionary.
I know. Everybody has been talking about selfies all week long. So I figured for our tip of the week, we would talk about this article that mentions how to take great selfies. Now, some of the things they mentioned, the tips in this article are kind of funny. Some things I've never heard of. One being, don't succumb to duck face. I never knew that was a problem, Sarah. Did you know?
Oh, Amber, this is an epidemic that plagues.
Really?
That plagues young women. Well, and men too, across the world. Yes.
Why would they do that?
Because I don't know why. I don't know where duck face started from, but it's sort of like, it's one of those things where, I don't know, somebody wants to... Well, see, duck face has kind of become a joke now, so people do it ironically, but it kind of started out as, you know, you kind of like, I'm so sultry, you know, and then people started making fun of it as girls doing duck face photos because they just don't want to smile cute. They want to like kind of look pouty.
Sultry.
But it doesn't look good. It looks awful. Always. Yes, consistently.
It looks awful.
So yes. Yeah. I think that is a very, very good advice.
Yeah. And, you know, things like choose good lighting. That's a very good tip. Do consider your background. And I love that they say in this article, it's time to finally kill the bathroom selfie. Don't you agree, Sarah?
Oh my gosh. Now that's something that I didn't realize was a thing. Are there a lot of bathroom selfies?
Yeah, think about the MySpace days. I think so many people would take a picture of themselves when they were standing in front of the mirror, right? If
yeah.
I'm correct. And that reminds me a lot of MySpace. So I think that's definitely a thing. So we can get rid of that. We can get rid of duck face. It says don't look straight at the camera because it's not all that flattering.
Well, where are we supposed to go?
I guess we're supposed to turn our head slightly so that only one ear is visible in the frame.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah. I don't know. We're trying here. So we should watch the video. For this one.
It's not that you're not supposed to look into the... You're supposed to give an angle.
Yes.
Well, you know, Amber, I'm guilty of that. I very rarely do a straight-on picture of myself because I feel like it's just too much face. It's kind of good to get, you know, show a little cheekbone.
Yes.
I admit it. I do that.
I do that too. And I think that leads into the next one. Watch your jawline. So shoot from above, not necessarily below. That is, you know, that applies not just to selfies, but to shooting video as well. You should never really shoot. You know, if a cameraman gets down in front of you on one knee to shoot up, you should tell them to stop doing that and to stand on a chair because it's not a flattering angle at all.
No, very true. Really bad.
Not good.
I mean, it's even the most attractive people in the world. I mean, selfies can go bad really quick. You know, some sort of too much chin, or you know, you get a bad angle with the nose, and
it can
be bad.
I think of the Anderson Cooper selfie, which was a great selfie. I think it was his first picture on Instagram, and he was lying down on his bed, and he was on a white pillow, and it's a really nice selfie. So that's a good model if you can aim for that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely get out of the bathroom. Although I guess now that I think about it, it's like, well, maybe that's the only mirror a lot of people have that's handy and big, like a full-length. Yeah, no bathroom. No. No, no, no. If I can tell you're in the bathroom, it is a failure. Well, okay, well, this is good. Thank you, Reed Wright. Of course, we'll have that link in our show notes as well if you want to go back over it.
Yeah.
We've got a couple spotlights this week, and the first one is kind of great. So let's say that, you know, I mentioned Game of Thrones earlier, and or Breaking Bad, or something where there's a spoiler possibility, and you really, really want to make sure that there are certain terms that don't spoil things for you, but you don't want to stay off Twitter. I mean, because that's not really viable for a lot of people. This is a Chrome extension at getrather.com, which is where you can grab it, that will replace anything that might be in your social feed with something else. So, for example, we've joked about this in the past where people have too many pictures of their children on Facebook. You could replace that with, I don't know, a picture of, football, or a picture of cats if you're somebody like me. Or if you're just sort of like, you know what, I am not going to this really fun concert that so many of my colleagues are going to. I just don't want to hear about it, but I don't want to unfollow them or mute them or anything like that. I just want to, I don't know, make it more pleasant for myself to not hear about South by Southwest every 5 minutes. You can replace those terms with something of your choosing.
I love this.
It's good stuff, huh?
as much as I'm interested in what's going on in my own city, right about now, I'm sick of hearing about Rob Ford in my Twitter feed, and it would be great to just use this and perhaps block those conversations entirely. So this is a fun one. I'll have to try it out.
Exactly. So they have some great examples where it's like, you know, first of all, you go ahead and install the extension. Then you say, okay, well, let's say that I'm DVRing the baseball game and I just don't want to hear about what happened. You can go ahead and start replacing words. So then here you go. You say something like, okay, well, instead of sports in my feed, now it'll just always be cats. Anytime anybody mentions Sox, as in Red Sox, as in, you know, they just won the World Series. Now you basically make it something that's a lot more pleasant for yourself. They use Breaking Bad spoilers because that's, of course, that was something that was very, very important to a lot of us, to not have things spoiled if for whatever reason you weren't watching at the same time as everybody else. And the list goes on. You can manage certain lists of keywords that you may want to toggle on and off. Replacement content is pretty easy to do. I mean, it could be like a keyword or like an Instagram feed of maybe an Instagram feed you like the Daily Puppy type of thing. And yeah, you can go ahead and replace stuff or just mute it altogether. It's a very neat tool. Again, Chrome extension, you can get it at getrather.com.
I love this.
Good.
That's very cool. I'm going to try that out for sure. And speaking of pleasant things, it sounds like this next spotlight, Sarah, is kind of happy news. Could I describe it like that?
I guess so. This is a site called Upworthy.com, and I can already tell that I'm a little behind the times in figuring. I wasn't familiar with the site until somewhat recently, but I mentioned it to a couple of people and they said, oh yeah, everybody knows about Upworthy. The idea is it's kind of like inspirational video-based content that is designed to inspire, make people feel better, help people to... I don't know, believe in the good in people, I guess. I mean, that sounds a little silly, but it really, if you look at some stuff that's recently shared, you know, there's a student who talks about what's wrong with the educational system. There's a story about, it looks like Walmart donating donating for its staff, so on and so forth. If you go to when I was first like, well, what's up with Upworthy? If you just go to their about page, it says it's social media with a mission. They say they want to make important stuff as viral as a video of some idiot surfing off of his roof. So, you know, some idiot surfing off of his roof might make you feel good. And so I don't think Upworthy is trying to say what, you know, makes people feel good. But there are a lot of people who might say, you know, everything on social media is just so dumb. You know, it's just these little one-offs that don't mean anything to anybody. It's just a time waster. And it seems that cumulatively spending a few minutes on Upworthy makes you feel like there's a lot more to it. Interesting people doing interesting things, and this is how we share them with each other.
It is really interesting. I mean, I love the idea that there is a mission behind the news that they report. So it's not just about reporting it, but reporting stories that should mean something or telling the truth in stories. You know, they say in their about section that they really cater to the Daily Show generation. And I can't imagine a better way to describe it, because I think just people who want to at times just cut through the fluff, maybe have a good laugh, but also listen to what is important out there in with a lens that maybe they understand it better. So I did not hear of this site before, Sarah, too. So you're not the only one.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. You know, if you look at their categories, I mean, a lot of this is all stuff that it's familiar to us, but you know, it does skew a little bit. You know, we've got diversity, health, inspirational, parenting, workonomics, science and technology. So yeah, I think, I spent quite a bit of time, at Upworthy this week, and I really like it. I think it's a place to hear about, I keep using the word inspirational, and I hate to overuse that word, but it actually is, it's very inspiring, and it is viral content that, yeah, you know, I don't know where else I would find a lot of this stuff. I mean, where else do you go for something that's specifically tailored to evoke this kind of emotion? I don't know. I mean, you could blindly look on Facebook. That's not that helpful. So, yeah, in that sense, I think Upworthy is really doing good work.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm glad you introduced that. And we're going to kind of touch on a story similar to that, I think, in some of our viewer feedback later on, a service that also has happy things included.
Exactly.
If I can tease it that way.
We just want people to be happy before the holidays, obviously. Speaking of the holidays, you might work for, I don't know, a large enterprise, and you're supposed to manage social media. And, you know, these are sort of the times of the year where sometimes people are taking a lot of vacation. It might be kind of scarce in the office. And you want to make sure that you're doing your job as well as possible. That is where Social Media Solutions from SAP would come in, because it does a lot of your work for you. It's a listening and engaging social media tool to help you know who is saying what about your brand all over the web. Are they complaining on Facebook? Are they sharing something about your product on Twitter? Have they written up a blog post on their site? I mean, you can just sort of surf around all day and you'd never really feel like you were on top of all of this. And that's where Social Media Solutions becomes so helpful, because you can set rules for what you're listening for. Is it a keyword? Is it something about your competitor? Is somebody kind of, you know, sounds like they've got a question? Those are all aspects of your business that you want to stay on top of, because you want to be that business that's very responsive on social media and helps people and solves their problems. Now, that's the listening component. So it's all about taking in information, ingesting information. Then, of course, there's the engaging component, and that's where you give people feedback. So if they've got a technical problem, Social Media Solutions helps you set up your team. So John on the tech support side gets that question right away. It doesn't take like three people forwarding emails in order for him to realize, okay, I can go ahead and help this customer here. And, you know, then they end up being happy. If somebody posts a negative review, an agent at your company can remedy the problem, because you've seen that complaint. I mean, this is not something that surfaced a week, a month later, where they're already so angry that, you know, now they've gone off to some sort of other solution. The Social Media Solutions from SAP gives you more than marketing by improving the customer service and the support experience. Amber, I know, you know, you and I spend a lot of time monitoring what people are saying online for, you know, brands and for individuals, and it can be very daunting, can't it?
Yeah, I mean, it takes so much time, so much effort to figure out what people are saying. And at the same time, though, you have to, I always talk about it as keeping an ear to the digital ground. You have to pay attention to what's being said about your company. So it's absolutely critical that you have something like this to be able to manage everything. I know when I speak at conferences, Sarah, I still mention the United Breaks guitar story, because recently the BBC did a case study where they talked about how that one story and the fact that it went viral and United wasn't paying attention to it, it actually lost the airline about $180 million.
Wow.
And so we know that there can be a lot of damage done to a business's reputation if they're not on top of social media. I mean, it's not a question about, oh, should I be there anymore? I mean, you have to be there, right? We've come to that time where you have to be part of that conversation, or at least listen and respond when there's anything important going on.
And I think anybody who spent a lot of time, you know, it's never good to hear stuff that you don't want to hear. But if you're a brand and you've got an angry customer and you reach out to them and solve that problem, I mean, almost always without fail, not only are they happy because they got their problems fixed, but they really appreciate the effort. I can't stress enough how much that really helps just goodwill spread about your brand. Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you want to find out more about it, go to sap.com/twit. That's easy. sap.com/twit to find out more. Take a guided tour for yourself. They've got a nice one up there to see how Social Media Solutions from SAP works and can work for your company as well. Well, I wasn't supposed to point at you. I was supposed to do one of these Bill Clintons. Okay. Amber, do you want to take the first email?
Yes. Yeah, so this is an email from Elizabeth who says that she's the founder of a new New York-based microblogging social network called Happy Fuel, which lets you discover and share happy moments. People can share photos, videos, voice memos, locations, messages, and songs, and then gauge just how happy each moment made them feel. We then highlight the happiest moments for others to enjoy. And she calls it kind of a combination of Tumblr and Upworthy. So there we have Upworthy again coming into the mix. And I actually went to the website to play this, and I realized there was audio off the top, so I haven't checked out the site, but it looks kind of neat.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, and it's completely coincidental that she said, well, you know, to give you a little bit of a sense of what we're going for, what Elizabeth said was, it's kind of like Tumblr and Upworthy. And I thought, well, before this week, I wouldn't have known what Upworthy was, but now we all know. I certainly know what Tumblr is, and I really like the idea, and I think, what is it about these services that keep cropping up, Amber, that's designed to help us all out? Are we all just like miserable online or what?
Well, I mean, I think there are a lot of dark corners of the internet. I think that perhaps is a huge understatement, but more and more you hear all the negative stories. And I know, Sarah, you worked in the news media as well, and there was always pressure on me to talk about just the negative side of the internet. People would want stories about child predators. They would want stories about people scamming people. And not very often do news organizations really want to share great stories that come out of the internet culture that we know that can be very positive. So I love seeing stuff like this. And I think for a lot of people, it's just a nice addition to their internet experience. And you can't really go wrong.
No, absolutely not. Elizabeth, thank you so much for writing in about this. This is brand new, by the way, happyfuel.me. It's an app. It's an iOS app. I should make sure before I say it's an Android app. I know it's an iOS app, but they also have a web presence, happyfuel.me. Go there and see what you think. See if, you know, does... It would be great to get your feedback as well. I mean, does this sort of stuff seem forced? Does it actually make you feel happier? Is there, you know, a need for it in your day? Do you feel like, you know, the Facebooks of the world somehow end up having kind of the inverse effect where you just feel like, well, everybody else is having a better time than me? That would all be just kind of helpful for all of us to kick around in a future show.
Definitely.
Next email comes from Scott Simmons down in San Antonio, Texas. And he says, if you haven't seen or heard Eric Whitaker's virtual choir videos on YouTube, you really got to go check them out and prepare to be blown away. He says, it's created a connection between singers across the globe and produced stunningly beautiful music. These choirs would not be possible without social media. Amber, have you heard of Eric Whitaker and these projects?
I have not. So I'm kind of excited to hear this or see the video. And I had no idea. See, this is the thing, Sarah. We can't possibly cover everything. I mean, every day I feel exactly. like I'm missing out on something. So this looks kind of cool.
Yeah. So the idea is that these are people who have participated from all over the world. And, you know, obviously at some point it's just a single voice. But then you add a bunch of voices like a choir. But these are all virtual people who submitted their entries and then were put together by, I assume Eric Whitaker is the main person. He may have a team working behind him. But yeah, I mean, I just found out about this too, Amber. And there are quite a few videos. This is not just one project. There are many. Even if you just search for his name on YouTube, you get a bunch of results rather. And these videos are kind of neat, but I mean, just the audio itself. And the fact that it's as if all of these people are singing together, even though they're clearly not, I'm so impressed.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I love projects like this, too, that, again, just kind of show the collaborative power of the internet. And this is a perfect example of how there are just so many creative people. I mean, it never fails to amaze me that people can come up with ideas like this and put together projects like this. So for our audio listeners, you really should watch the video because the videos are really stunning and fun and all those different things.
Speaking of selfies, I mean, isn't that funny? It's like all of these people, it's kind of got that classic look of somebody in front of their computer just singing along. But the effect putting everybody together is really, it's beautiful. I mean, and this is, some modern composition stuff. Very unique.
Yeah,
Eric Whitaker, beautiful. You got to check this guy out. This is a very, what a wonderful use of social media, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is. Now, here is another really interesting thing. Sarah, I stumbled across this. I don't even know where I found it, but it's called latest.is, and it's a place where you can go to find some of the top links that are being shared on Twitter. But the thing is, they may not be the top links that you see on your Twitter account. It's actually curated from about 1,000 people who the people who run this website think are some of the most interesting people on Twitter. And so you can find some things here that perhaps you wouldn't traditionally see in your Twitter feed, but that may grab your attention. One in particular I wanted to show, Sarah, is this one calling feelingkg.com. Which I guess is going viral, at least in some communities. And it's just bizarre.
Whoa! Oh my gosh. Wow. That took me a second. At first, I was like, those are interesting.
Get it? Feeling cagey? Nicolas Cage?
Okay.
We'll have to describe this for our audio listeners. It's very disturbing.
You know, audio listeners, we love you guys, but boy, how do you describe this? Nicolas Cage's face on a variety of sort of selfie type pictures of other people. I think those aren't him. I don't really know.
They're not him. No, they're appearing on other people. It looks like they are taking selfies on Instagram. And this website showcases a bunch of different selfies. There are dozens and dozens. But Nicolas Cage's face all of a sudden is planted on top of all of these random faces. So that's why it's called feelingkg.com. And this is I would put this into the category of weird internet things, weird creativity.
I love this because Twitter does, we were talking about the Twitter app earlier. It's like Twitter really wants you to discover cool stuff via Twitter, particularly on the Twitter app. You know, that's a whole tab that's based for that. But something like the latest, which is, of course, latest.is, it kind of strips out everything except here's what's popular as a link that a bunch of people are sharing. So Feeling Cagey is just a great example of something ridiculous that people are sharing. You've got the Bob Dylan official interactive video that was a huge, huge topic all week. That's, number six. You've got the new design for Google Ventures. Amber, you and I have some friends who work there. So it's like, okay, that I can see that that's, it is something that's been shared a lot. And so on and so forth. So this is, it's one of those things where it's like, just show me something that is really popular. And this seems to be a really nice way to look at that.
Yeah, just a different viewpoint, right? So it's a good little list that's been put together of just random. I mean, there definitely is nothing in common. There's nothing in common with all of the links that you'll find here.
No.
They're just totally random.
Just a bunch of stuff that a lot of people are talking about. Absolutely love it. That's a good one. The Twitter Spotlight, latest.is. Of course, we'll have that link in our show notes. So don't worry about writing it down or remembering it if you're not near a pencil or paper, like anybody uses those anymore. Amber, I wrote something down today, longhand. I was writing a note for our editor, Jeff, and it felt so weird.
I can't even write anymore. I can print a few things, but if I try to write, I don't even remember how to join the letters together properly. That's embarrassing.
Yeah. I had the weirdest sensation where I was like, okay, because I was sitting at his desk. I wanted to write him a note, and I'm like, well, here's a pad of paper. Now what do I do? I need a writing utensil. And I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. Like, I don't know. Anyway. Well, it's this digital world we live in, I suppose. We do want to hear from you. If you have funny stories about writing utensils, or you've got a great service that will help us surface some of the viral links that are shared on Twitter, anything like that. I mean, you can help us build our show. It's a community effort. Of course, we're all very social people. You can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 2626 Social. Just type in 2626 SOCIAL and you will find our voicemail box. And sometimes you will hear our voice message and you'll go hee 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 and then you'll hang up. But we won't play those voicemails on the show because they're not really all that helpful. But you go ahead and do that if you want. It's fine. Nobody's phone is ringing. It's just a Google voice box. You can record a video telling us something or walking us through something. Or if you just, if you know of a link, something like the YouTube choir project that we've never talked about, chances are maybe we don't know about it. And we'd love to hear about it from you.
Or even ask us a question. I mean, I think a lot of people do have social media questions about how things on Facebook work or LinkedIn or YouTube or Pinterest. So if we don't know the answer, at least if we get your question in advance, we can play your question and we can help you out. So we are not opposed to that. If you don't have anything to share, you can definitely contribute just by asking.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, if we don't have the answer, we will certainly do our best.
You'll find it.
Yeah, to go find it, research it, and have fun in the process. All right. Let's take another quick break and thank Audible for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. Audible is great because it's all about audiobooks, as the name implies. Many, many audiobooks, in fact. This is not just like, oh, well, you know, they're going to have what I want. I'm not sure if Audible is really, has a good library of the kind of genre of book that I'm interested in. Actually, Audible has many, more than 150,000 titles, in fact. I mean, think about that for a second. Hey, even if you're an avid reader, there's no way that you could make a dent in that many books for quite a long time. So available titles, over 150,000, and that's across many different genres. You've got, you know, just you got your standard classic literature, fiction, nonfiction. Some people are just not into fiction. They like to learn about stuff that is reality, that whole nonfiction category. Periodicals as well. You know, it's probably worth noting, Amber, this was actually your suggestion, that we should talk about a brand new book that's already on Audible by Nick Bilton, who's a friend of Twit. He's on This Week in Tech on Sundays pretty regularly, and he wrote a book about Twitter called Hatching Twitter.
Yeah, I just got this book. So I'm just finishing another book right now, and I'm so excited to dive into this. I literally have it sitting in my kitchen, and I'm trying to finish the other one before I get started. But this is an interesting story about how Twitter started, and it sounds like it's a pretty dramatic story as well, and it's narrated by Daniel May. It's about 9 hours long. So this seems like a fabulous way to be able to listen to the Twitter story and not have to actually read the book, but you can take it with you on your commute, listen to it while you're cooking dinner in the kitchen. And for any social media fans, I mean, this is at the top of the list right now, I would say, for books that you definitely want to be able to listen to and get a sense of what went on during those days, because it sounds pretty controversial.
Yeah, it's kind of dramatic. There are some, you know, wars of the co-founder stuff going on and who pushed who out. And this is a very, very, very getting great reviews, very popular book. Nick Bilton is an extremely good writer. So I haven't had a chance to read it, but honestly, Amber, I'm thinking maybe that's something that I get through between two plane flights over the next few days. Over a flight to New York and back, I've got 9 hours to listen to Hatching Twitter, and I'm really interested to hear some of the details that I never knew about before. That's one of the beautiful things about Audible. I mean, it could be that book, it could be really any other kinds of books that you're interested in. And actually, what's neat about it is that for listeners or viewers of The Social Hour, Audible is offering a free audiobook. So you can go ahead and download Hatching Twitter and just try out the service. It gives you a chance to see how Audible works, how easy it is to listen, how fun it is to be able to do other stuff if you are in a position to not be able to read, or you just kind of like the idea of it being read to you. If you want to download Hatching Twitter or another audiobook for free, go to audiblepodcast.com/social hour. Once more, that's audiblepodcast.com/social hour. Get that free book, try out Audible. And of course, at the end of your trial period, if you love Audible, you can sign up for an account then. Leo Laporte's been a member for, I don't know, it's like something crazy. He's got like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books, because once you download them, they're yours to keep. You can listen to them as many times as you want. It's really nice that way. So thanks to Audible, as always, for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. All right, Amber, so we got something weird and rad or fat. I don't know. It's a stunt of some kind.
Yes. Yeah, so you've probably seen the viral video. It's been viewed millions of times. This is the Volvo stunt, and it is featuring Jean-Claude Van Damme. And it's amazing to watch that video. You know, he's doing the splits between two Volvo trucks. The music is beautiful. It's generated, I think, more buzz online than pretty much any video, viral video in the past 5 years. It's definitely up there.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal as far as the growth. But now people start doing these little parody videos and spoofing this video, and you know, I like the original video, and I'm kind of sick of seeing these, so I'm going to say that, you know, is it rad or is it a fad as far as the spin-offs? What do you think, Sarah?
Well, I hate to be a naysayer, and I love, you know, I love a good parody and a good spoof and all of that good stuff, but I'm with you. Sometimes I feel like, you know, it's can't we just enjoy the thing that everybody liked so much without saying, oh, well, here's the funny take on it, you know? Here's the, you know, the skit version of this viral video that everybody liked so much. It seems like the window just keeps getting smaller where, you know, everybody rushes to be the first you know, video to make fun of the original video. Sometimes those are really funny, but yeah, I think I feel a little bit of fatigue about that sort of thing.
Yes, and I think in this particular video, the interesting thing, which is why I would put some of the parodies into the fad category, is that none of them are really as good as the original. And I think you're exactly right. Sometimes viral videos, they're great, but then the parodies are even better. I mean, people do a fabulous job, but no one can do the splits like Jean-Claude Van Damme in this video. So it's almost like he keeps winning and winning and winning over again. People should just stop doing parodies of this. They'll never look and appear as great as he does in this campaign. I'm not a huge fan of his, but I think it's pretty a pretty memorable campaign.
So have we all decided that he really was doing the splits between those two big semi trucks? Is that has that been proven as like a real thing that happened? If you haven't seen this video, you got to watch it. It's like set to Enya. It's quite something.
It's great. I heard he was. I heard he was being held with some type of, I don't know if they were some type of bands or something, but that's what I heard on a morning news show that was talking about how he actually did this, but he had support as far as staying in place. I don't know all the details. I'm sure it's pretty easy to find it online, but his career, you know, really, he really almost has had a comeback just with this little video campaign. So that's pretty impressive.
Go Van Damme. Yeah, I what was that? Kickboxer. Oh, loved that movie. I saw that like 17 times back in 1988 or something. Chat room is going crazy saying, yes, it was one take. He's really doing the split, Sarah. That is a real thing. So I'm going to believe you guys and say that's very impressive. Don't try to upstage the professional here.
Don't.
Can't be done. No. He's the master. So yes, I think in this case, parodies are, they're in the fad category.
They're in the fad category with this one. You just can't win. And you know what? Here is a challenge to any of our viewers or listeners. If you think that you can do this, well, actually, no, don't. It's
yeah,
too
no. This is yeah, yeah. This is I think a real. Don't try this with your own groin. It's not going
to
end well. We don't want to get the medical bills for anything that may go awry. How are you going to get two semis anyway? And,
you might not even want to watch the videos. It could get weird fast.
It could get weird fast. Well, you know, it wasn't weird. Was this hour? I think it was just a lot of fun. Hopefully, you all got some infotainment. I've used that word on two different shows today. It's just stuck in my brain. You know, we had some news for you, got some spotlights, gave you some social tips. And a little bit of fun too, Amber. I'm going to be. We're recording this for anybody who's watching the show live. You know that we're recording it a day early. I'm going to be off to New York for the weekend to see some friends and go to some events and have some fun in the cold weather. What are you up to over the next week, Amber?
Well, you know, it's a pretty exciting weekend for me because the TV show I do, App Central, we're celebrating our 100th birthday.
Oh, nice.
So we've had 100 episodes. So I'm going on a big kind of media tour over the next day or so. And yeah, it's a big milestone in TV land to hit 100 episodes. We finished up 4 seasons. So it's been a great run. And so we're celebrating. So that will be on across Canada on Saturday night. And you can, if you're not in Canada, you can watch it at appcentral.ca. So my next few days are filled with little things that involved that show.
Well, that's very exciting. Congratulations. And you're right. 100 episodes is a big number, especially in TV land.
These days, especially.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we both work on both sides, so we know. But anyway, thanks for everybody for watching and listening. That is it for this episode of The Social Hour. Remember, pretty soon, after the first of the year, we will be live on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Amber and I are both very excited about that. Until the end of the year, we'll be back on Fridays. However, we are taking next Friday off because the day after Thanksgiving and the Twit Studio will be closed. And I know. I was actually informed of that because I was like, well, when are we going to do the show? And they said, you get to take some time off. And I went, oh, okay. I guess that's what we're doing. So we'll have a little reprieve, which is probably good, Amber, because next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I'll probably need to be, you know, sort of rolled in and out of pajama living rooms for the weekend after that. So, yeah. Anyway, all right.
All right. And you know what? I think we're going to have to get Gary Vee on because I know he promised to come on. So before the holidays, I'll follow up with him and see if he can come back and talk about his new book, which is out now. And it's always a blast having him on. So we'll plan, hopefully, after we get through Thanksgiving and the next week or two after that, we'll get him to come on the show because I know he's excited to do it.
Sounds good. Yeah, I miss Gary Vee. And he's got a new book. He's super pumped about it, as always. And he's always a good guest. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for watching and listening. Until next time, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and we'll see you soon.